Tantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents 8-Step Recovery, Using the Buddha's Teachings to Overcome Addiction, by Valerie Mason Johnson and Dr. Paramabandhu Groves, forward by Gabor Mate, MD, narrated by Janina Edwards. Author's Note. Apart from the author's names, Valerie and Paramabandhu, all other names attached to personal stories are fictitious in order to protect the confidentiality of individuals. Preface to the Second Printing. 8-Step Recovery Meetings. Since we launched 8-Step Recovery, we have had many requests on how to run an 8-Step Recovery meeting. These 8-Step Recovery meetings have been pioneered in India, the UK, the US, Canada, Mexico, and Finland. Many people have benefited from these meetings, and we hope you will too. The meeting formats have all been tried and tested. We suggest several formats, but we request that you always include the welcome, meeting guidelines, the preamble, moral inventory, and reciting the 5 training principles in negative and positive form, in call and response, and the 8 steps in unison. We also recommend that you end with transference of merit and the 3-minute breathing space, age. It is helpful to print the welcome, meeting guidelines, preamble, moral inventory, 8 steps, and the age and transference of merit on cards or laminated paper so that different people can read them out loud. Make sure you have someone signed up to chair each meeting. Also, ensure you have enough printed paper copies of the 8 steps and the transference of merit for everyone. Some groups create booklets for people. The chair's role is to begin the meeting and end the meeting on time, and also ask for Dana. Some of you will know this as the 7th tradition. Dana is an expression of generosity. Making a donation supports the group to continue holding meetings and helps to pass on the teachings you have been given. The chair opens the meeting with a welcome. Meeting format. Welcome. Welcome. My name is blank, and I will now lead the 3-minute breathing space. Age. Become aware of your body. Aware of sensations in the body. Aware of thoughts. Aware of emotions. Gather your breath on the upper lip, the chest, or in the abdomen, and let the contact of the breath soothe your thoughts. Expand the breath throughout the whole body. Let me hear everyone take a deep breath and expand it throughout the body. We invite you to briefly introduce yourself and say why you are here this evening. Please take up to a maximum of 30 seconds. Thank you. It is also okay for you to not say anything. After introductions, ask if there are any newcomers, and please welcome them. Will somebody now read the meeting guidelines? Meeting guidelines. I would like to remind all of us of our suggested meeting guidelines. If there is more than one person, there are enough people for a meeting. The only requirement to attend this meeting is the desire to live your life by the 5 precepts, which are training principles to help train the mind, and a desire to be free of your addictions and or compulsive behaviors. Please respect people's personal sharing. Let what you hear stay here. Be kind to yourself, and in turn be kind to others. Enjoy your recovery. Will somebody please read the preamble? Preamble. This 8-step recovery meeting explores recovery through the lens of the Buddhist teachings and Buddhism through the lens of recovery. If you are attending 12-step meetings, this can be your expression of your 11th step. And if you are not in a 12-step program, it can be another way to approach your recovery. This is an extra meeting to complement your recovery, whatever that looks like. For the next 1.5 hours or 2 hours, we are temporarily going for refuge to the Three Jewels. What we mean by that is, as best we can, we are placing the Buddha, the awakened mind, the Dharma, the teachings of the Buddha, and the Sangha, the spiritual community that has recovered and woken up to the truth, at the center of our thoughts. Those of us in recovery know too well that our addiction has often been at the center of our thoughts. Will somebody please read the moral inventory? Moral inventory. So we begin with our moral inventory. We are turning our thoughts over to the Three Jewels, to the Buddha, the awakened mind, which has gained liberation from suffering, to the Dharma, the teachings that point to the truth, and to the Sangha, the spiritual communities which have gained liberation. We will now recite the training principles to help train the mind in call and response. I will say a line, and you repeat it. 1. I undertake to abstain from harming life. With deeds of loving kindness, I purify my body. 2. I undertake to abstain from taking the not given. With open-handed generosity, I purify my body. 3. I undertake to abstain from sexual misconduct. With stillness, simplicity, and contentment, I purify my body. 4. I undertake to abstain from false speech. With truthful communication, I purify my speech. 5. I undertake to abstain from taking intoxicants. With mindfulness clear and radiant, I purify my mind. We will now say the 8 steps together. 8 steps. Step 1. Accepting that this human life will bring suffering. Step 2. Seeing how we create extra suffering in our lives. Step 3. Embracing impermanence to show us that our suffering can end. Step 4. Being willing to step onto the path of recovery and discover freedom. Step 5. Transforming our speech, actions, and livelihood. Step 6. Placing positive values at the center of our lives. Step 7. Making every effort to stay on the path of recovery. Step 8. Helping others by sharing the benefits we have gained. Here are several formats that can take place at your meeting. Please decide which meeting format you will use before you begin your meeting. 1. Step meeting. 2. Book study meetings. 3. Speaker meetings. Once this part of the meeting is over, please always end with the following. The chair will lead the 3-minute breathing space. Age. Age. Become aware of your body. Aware of sensations in the body. Aware of thoughts. Aware of emotions. Gather your breath on the upper lip, the chest, or in the abdomen, and let the contact of the breath soothe your thoughts. Expand the breath throughout the whole body. Let me hear everyone take a deep breath and expand it throughout the body. Let's all say the transference of merit together. Transference of merit and self-surrender. May the merit gained in my acting thus go to the alleviation of the suffering of all beings, my personality throughout my existences, my possessions, and my merit in all 3 ways, I give up without regard to myself for the benefit of all beings. just as the earth and other elements are serviceable in many ways to the infinite number of beings inhabiting limitless space, so may I become that which maintains all beings situated throughout space, so long as all have not attained to peace. Please ask at this point for Donna, voluntary financial contribution. Nobody is paid. Donna is an act of generosity, showing an appreciation of the Buddhist teachings. However, there is no suggested fee, and nobody is turned away. There is no price to attend a meeting, and nobody should be made to feel uncomfortable if they don't put into the pot. This must come from each individual's generosity of spirit. Some people may give Donna by offering to open up and put out chairs each week and tidy up after. Being of service as Donna is as valuable and generous as giving money. Just as recovery is a process, so is the act of generosity. Donna will pay for your meeting space, for materials, books, non-alcoholic beverages, and anything else you need. If you have a surplus, you might wish to give money to a participant who wants to attend a recovery retreat. At a future date, we will also be introducing a donation facility on an appropriate website for 8-step recovery work in underprivileged communities, which will help some of the poorest communities in the world to deal with addiction, as well as helping to support people to go on recovery retreats. Format 1. Step Meeting. If you only have an hour, or there are a lot of people, we suggest you work through the steps weekly in the following way. You could perhaps consider a short passage from the step you are reflecting on before people answer the prompt question. Some groups go through one step a month, others one step a week, and once they have completed 8 steps, they just begin all over again. Prompt questions for short meeting. Today, we will focus on step 1, accepting that this human life will bring suffering. What does it mean for you to accept that this human life will bring about suffering in the context of your dis-ease? Today, we will focus on step 2, seeing how we create extra suffering in our lives. How do I create extra suffering in my life? Today, we will focus on step 3. Embracing impermanence to show us that our suffering can end. What do I need to let go of in my life today? Today we will focus on step 4, being willing to step onto the path of recovery and discover freedom. How willing am I to step onto the path of recovery today? Or what is one aspect of freedom I have discovered since being on the path of recovery? Today we will focus on step 5. Transforming our speech, actions, and livelihood. How can I begin transforming or continue to transform my speech or actions or livelihood? Just choose one to focus on. Today, we will focus on step 6, placing positive values at the center of our lives. What are some of the things that tend to occupy my thoughts? What is the impact of having these thoughts at the center of my life? Today, we will focus on step 7, making every effort to stay on the path of recovery. How can I make more effort to stay on the path of recovery? Today, we will focus on step 8, helping others by sharing the benefits we have gained. What could I do this week to help share the benefits I have gained? Another way of holding a short meeting is asking somebody to select a text that they would like to focus on from one of the steps and read for 15 minutes, and then ask people to share on the reading. End with the age and transference of merit and self-surrender. Format 2. Book Study Meeting. This is for longer meetings of 90 minutes to 2 hours. For the next few weeks, we will be exploring step 1. We will discuss every exercise, one exercise a week, and when a meditation or reflection comes up, we do the practice and discuss it afterwards. We will work through each step in this way until we get to the end of the book, and then begin again, We suggest that, if you have the technology, you play the meditation or reflection out loud. They are hosted as a free download on the website. The link can be found at the end of this book. Participants begin from the beginning of the book. They listen to a section for 15 to 20 minutes and then discuss the text. When a reflection or meditation comes up, either listen to it from the download or somebody leads it and then discuss. There are several ways of holding this meeting. You can work through the book chronologically, beginning with the foreword. Once the book is completed, you may choose to begin the book all over again, or you may choose to study another book that is related specifically to Buddhist recovery. For example, you could study Kevin Griffin's One Breath at a Time, or A Burning Desire, Noah Levine's Refugee Recovery, or Valerie Mason Johnson's Detox Your Heart, Meditations on Emotional Trauma. End with the Age and Transference of Merit and Self-Surrender. Format 3. Speaker Meeting. In some meetings, you may like to introduce a speaker by asking someone to tell their story of recovery, abstinence, sobriety, and their connection to the Buddhist teachings. Some groups like to invite people to their meetings and ask them to give a 15-minute talk on a topic concerning the 8 steps. Sometimes, groups choose the chair to speak on a topic concerning the 8 steps. After the 15-minute talk, people are then asked to share their reflections, thoughts, and own journey with the steps. End with the Age and Transference of Merit and Self-Surrender. Should groups be closed? Some groups may choose to be closed while working through the book, and others may choose to be open. Some groups may choose to have the group just for a specific addiction, gender, or sexuality. Even if it is just for a particular addiction, such as alcohol, we do not say you cannot mention other addictions in the group. This is because everything is interconnected, and the only requirement to attend a meeting is to live your life in line with the 5 training principles and a desire to be free of your addictions and/or your compulsive behaviors. You can be creative with the formats, although every meeting needs to begin with the welcome, meeting guidelines, the preamble, and moral inventory and the 8 steps, and then end with the Age and Transference of Merit and Self-Surrender. Remember, there are also meditations attached to the book. So for some meetings, you could choose to listen to a meditation and then discuss how the meditation was for you. All the meditations in the book can be downloaded for free from bit.ly/8steprecovery or windhorsepublications.com/8-steprecovery-audio. There are additional meditations on our website, insighttimer/vimalasara. How to run meetings. We request that all meetings are free of any food and only serve soft beverages like tea, coffee, or water. If you want to mark somebody's abstinent birthday, this can be done by the practice of rejoicing in merits, whereby you open the meeting up for 15 minutes and invite anybody to rejoice or celebrate in the good deeds or qualities of the persons whose abstinent birthday it is. We request that there is time for others to share about their hopes and struggles in the meeting too. So, while the rejoicing is to help inspire and motivate others, it needs to take up only 15 minutes of the meeting. Cakes and cookies are not required. Rejoicing and celebrating someone's achievements is enough. In this way, we learn to celebrate without a substance. Many of you may know how to meditate, although many of you will not. Therefore, we request you listen to the 3-minute breathing space or remember it verbatim, so that everyone can feel comfortable in leading it. There is a logic to the 3-minute breathing space, which is why it is important to stick to the script and not take up more than 3 minutes. We begin and end with a 3-minute breathing space to allow us to pause and gather ourselves. This helps us to arrive at the meeting and to connect with how we are at the end of the meeting before going on with our day. It also helps us to get into the habit of stopping and checking in with ourselves. We recommend that the Age practice is no longer than 3 minutes, although shorter is fine. Meetings are peer-led. Each group will decide, for example, on someone taking responsibility for making the welcome and asking people to read the preamble and lead the age for a month or two. Make sure responsibility is shared. You may want to close your meeting. This is the group's decision. You may want to set up 8-step meetings for specific addictions or more generally for substance abuse. This again is the decision of the people who set up the group. Abstinence and harm reduction. Some people will come to a meeting and ask, "Is Buddhist recovery an abstinence-based program or harm reduction program?" Beware of this question. The teachings of the Dharma do not tell people what to do. The teachings advise us to try for ourselves and see what happens. We clearly state in the meeting guidelines that the only requirement to attend a meeting is to live your life more in line with the 5 training principles to help train the mind, and a desire to be free of your addictions and or compulsive behaviors. Therefore, we start from where we are at in our recovery. The precepts are principles to train the mind. They clearly state that we undertake to abstain from specific behaviors, actions, and habits. So it is hoped that all of us in recovery are moving in the direction of letting go of harming ourselves and others, from taking the not given, from sexual misconduct, from false speech, and taking intoxicants. How you do this is up to you. We recommend avoiding telling people what to do. For example, saying it is okay to have a drink may be unproblematic for one person, but could be a matter of life and death for another. So please observe that when asked this question. We are not professionals. We are a group of people in recovery, sharing our wisdom. Forward by Jon Kabat-Zinn. It is always good and helpful to hear the basics of the Dharma expressed through the voices of authentic practitioners, and especially ones who know the depths of human suffering firsthand, as these authors do, and who equally know the very real potential, as well as the daily challenges involved, for us humans to free ourselves from such suffering, especially when it is engendered and sustained through craving of one kind or another, as is virtually always the case if one looks deeply enough. The human and economic costs of craving and of addictions of all kinds worldwide are staggering. Yet the statistics barely scratch the surface of the suffering that drives people to addiction in the first place and keeps them there once ensnared. In the face of this multidimensional global epidemic that destroys lives, families, and large segments of communities and nations, any effective inroads are not only welcome, but absolutely necessary. As Chan Master Venerable Bin Huan of Hongfa Temple, Shenzhen, China, age 97 at the time, said to me during a 2004 conversation about bringing mindfulness in the form of mindfulness-based stress reduction, MBSR, into the mainstream of medicine and healthcare, "There are an infinite number of ways in which people suffer. Therefore, there have to be an infinite number of ways in which the Dharma is made available to people. The program offered in 8-step recovery is one of those ways, one that is credible, creative, and inviting. The authors, on the basis of their own experience, have chosen to shape their path explicitly around Buddhist teachings, while following a framework based in large measure on a more mainstream mindfulness-based intervention, what they are calling mindfulness-based addiction recovery, MBAR. This revised edition includes a great deal of helpful new material to support those who are drawn to replicate this program in their communities. It offers mindfulness or heartfulness meditation practices and their applications to the cravings and addictions that are common to all human beings and that are particularly valuable to any of us who are in the grip of their most toxic, imprisoning, and life-destroying clutches. Liberation through one's own efforts to cultivate intimacy and kindness with the workings of one's own self-imprisoning mind and behaviors is indeed possible, as the authors point out, echoing the teaching of the Buddha's Third Noble Truth. Indeed, The entire program is presented in the context of the Four Noble Truths, explicitly bringing the liberative heart of Buddhist meditation practices and teachings to bear on the mind that is imprisoned in its own nightmarish and self-destructive habits by cultivating other, healthier, usually unknown and undreamed of aspects of that very same mind and heart. These teachings and the container of the MBAR program are offered as both a refuge and a practical curriculum for this hardest of all journeys back to the well-being that is our birthright as human beings, and which is, paradoxically, already here and already ours for the developing. The basic message from the authors is that reclaiming your life and what is deepest and best in yourself is not only possible, but actually workable, if you are willing to engage in a certain kind of interior work on yourself and to give yourself over to this intrinsically kind and trustworthy invitation to heal your own life and heart and relationships. May this MBAR program prove to be just the door you need to open. And if so, then enter, and give yourself over day by day, thought by thought, moment by moment, to this reliable and profound form of nurturance and healing. Jon Kabat-Zinn, Northampton, Massachusetts. Foreword by Gabor Mate. Suffering is universal, the authors of this book point out. It's not a terrible mistake that we are suffering, nor a personal failure. Pain happens to us, and it happens to everyone. The challenge for human beings is not how to avoid suffering, but how to face the pain that is inherent in our lives, and how not to create more suffering by our desperate attempt to avoid pain. Addiction is, perhaps, the most desperate measure we employ to escape suffering. It does not work, as so many of us have found. Every addiction starts with pain and ends with pain, Eckhart Tolle has written. My definition of addiction, close to that of the authors, is any behavior, substance-related or not, that brings temporary pleasure or relief. A behavior one craves, but is unable to stop, despite negative consequences. As the Buddha pointed out thousands of years ago, almost any human pleasure can become addictive. Some ascetics and Brahmins remain addicted to attending such shows as dancing, singing, music, displays, recitations, hand music, cymbals and drums, fairy shows, combats of elephants, buffaloes, bulls, rams, maneuvers, military parades, disputation and debate, rubbing the body with shampoos and cosmetics, bracelets, headbands, fancy sticks, unedifying conversation about kings, robbers, ministers, armies, dangers, wars, food, drink, clothes, heroes, speculation about land and sea, talk of being and non-being. The point is not that any of these behaviors are in themselves necessarily addictive, but that it is our relationship to them that defines the addiction. One could dance or sing, for example, as an act of creation and even divine worship, or, as one of the authors, Valerie, writes, when something traumatic happened in my life, I would go out dancing all night, even without intoxicants. Addiction happens when an activity is used as a means to escape from the distress of experiencing oneself. And why should people wish to flee from themselves? We do so when we have suffered as children, and when, being alone and in despair, we could not see how to be with our pain and how to learn from it. The healing of addiction is all about how to learn from pain. Whatever you do, don't shut off your pain, Sogyal Rinpoche writes in the Tibetan Book of Living and Dying. However desperate you become, accept your pain as it is, because it is in fact trying to hand you a precious gift, the chance of discovering, through spiritual practice, what lies behind sorrow. What lies behind sorrow is liberation and joy. A powerful spiritual practice to get us there is the mindfulness taught by the Buddha and revitalized by many great teachers since. Mindfulness reveals that we are not our thoughts, not our bodies, not our emotions, that we can notice and compassionately observe our feelings, thoughts, and body.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?